I was working this awful job, and I was in Cross Lake, and in an early morning, I saw this baby otter playing with this little turtle, and it was like my realization that I needed to move home. And so I built a birch bark canoe. I paddled it halfway down the Big Fork River, and I made lacrosse sticks coming home. I wanted to get back to a real simple way of woodworking by splitting logs with wedge and maul, really reconnecting with tools from my family, history from my family.
Lacrosse is a contact team sport played with a long-handled stick that has a basket on one end. The game dates back thousands of years. And while many play with modern sticks and a rubber ball that gets caught, cradled, and passed as it makes its way toward the goal, one northern Minnesotan has set out creating lacrosse sticks the old way. He makes his lacrosse sticks from all natural resources according to the old method. No power tools, no plastics, no rubber balls, only wood, hide, and steam. I caught up with him, and we talked about it.
A motivation for me is that all the old stick makers around here are gone. They're two generations ago, and that's lost. And I set out to remake this stick, get it out into communities, get it to the right people so that changes can be made, positive, healthy lifestyle changes, community changes. My name is Maxwell Everett Kelsey, and I make lacrosse sticks. I make the old style Great Lakes lacrosse stick that was common in all Great Lakes nations. My uncle played lacrosse at West Point, and years later, when my grandma was having a garage sale, I was probably 6 years old, and I first saw the lacrosse stick literally being thrown out. And I asked my grandma, "What is that stick?" And she's like, "Oh, it was just Bob's stick. Throw it out." And I was so interested in that stick because it's webbing, and the stick was like almost double my height. You know, I had such great curiosity of this stick. When you look at it, you can see the webbing and how hard it was played with, and that stick tells a history. I didn't know what shape was or what tribe yet. There's this fort in Deer River where they do interpreting. I went to Deer River with a school group and saw the Ojibwe stick, the Great Lakes style stick. I was intrigued. Whites and natives were playing the game. And I saw that lacrosse stick, and I had a lot of curiosity for the shape of that stick because it was such a funny looking stick. I was used to the Iroquois style stick, the big stick. It's big wide open mouth. I even asked a woman who was there, and I said, is that the correct shape? Because I didn't know the difference. And she's like, "Oh, that's for our area. That's our stick." And then my curiosity level was, how was that made? How did they bend that? How do you get wood to bend like that? I wanted to figure out, where did this stick come from and how do I make this stick? So that curiosity led me to play lacrosse. It was a camp game, so it was to strengthen the skills of the hunter at camp. In many ways it was ceremonial, in many ways it wasn't. It was for fun, and families played together and against each other. But I think that this stick is so important because it's so different shaped than any other stick. And it really does strengthen the skills of the hunter. It really does improve precision. Feels really good when you can start catch and pass with this stick. This stick, it's as long as your arm, and it has a 4-inch hoop on the end, and it's an offset hoop. And it's really hard to catch and throw with. You have to be really precise because it's such a small hoop. It's a circular hoop. Inside diameter is 4.5, outside is 4 3/4, 5. And to catch and pass with the stick is very hard.
That's Maxwell Everett Kelsey. He makes wooden lacrosse sticks.
It starts with a log that's split.
So I take like a 10 to even to 20 inch ash bolt, 50 inches, and I split it down with a wedge and a maul. And I split it, halve it, quarter it, eighth it, 16th it, and then I use a fro, an old time shingle maker tool. It's just it's a horizontal blade that I got a little ironwood maul that I fro it out, and I work that grain and I split that grain right down. See, you don't use a saw when you make these, because that wouldn't be the old way. The grain should be from the bottom, the base of the stick, all the way to the top. That one grain should go the whole way, and you should be able to see that. Then you know it's going to bend. Then you know that stick will be strong. To make that hoop, I steam it, that ribbon, before you bend it, and I have a little steamer, and I steam it up. And that wood is just so powerful in its strength, and also it's so readily bendable. It's incredible material.
Is this a leather basket?
Yeah. I lash it with rawhide, hairless, not tanned hide. I lash the wood, and then my basket is deer hide. I want to do it that old way. The old sticks were saplings. I just don't feel good about going and cutting down 25 saplings when I can take one singular old tree that's been cut that I can split out. And how I'm doing is I'm really paying respect and ode to how it was done. And that is what is so important. And so that's when that stick is so honest. You are so honest about your process that in turn it shows in your work. And I'm concerned about that. I want that. It's become a real therapy and almost a ceremony in my life of it being a constant positive thing that I can maintain and I can grow, I can germinate. That germination of the old game to help modern society with the old stick, I believe, is really important. Every time that I see the game being played, I hear, it comes down to it, there's this laughter that comes out. And I believe with any game, but to be resurrecting an old game and it instantly be so positive, so meaningful in people's lives that they come back to play, that they never miss a game. Young and old are reconnecting. I've seen it benefit Lower Sioux community. There's a team down there. A really good team, a boys team. For that community to reconnect with the old style stick that Charles Diaz, right in Lower Sioux, he painted in 1858, this amazing painting. There are 5 early American painters and artists that were in Minnesota pre-1900 that illustrated the Great Lakes style stick. They are Charles Diaz, George Catlin, Seth Eastman, Francis Blackwell Mayer, and Robert O'Sweeney. When people ask me, how do I know about this stick, or what do I reference, I have these artists that were here that illustrated that. So that was another affirmation of the game being played here and the history here. I'm still learning more things every day. There was a stick that's really important that came from this area. And it was a stick that was collected by Constantine Beltrami in and around 1823. This stick is in a museum in Bergamo, Italy. It's only 22 inches long, and it looks like a war club. It has serrated edges on the leading edge of that, of the profile of the handle. It's very like weaponry. It's very intimidating looking with this teeth that are carved into it and these X's. It has 4 X's that are burned into it. The Beltrami stick is the oldest piece of surviving Great Lakes style stick. It's pretty important for Minnesota. It's a Minnesota stick. It's too bad that it's in Bergamo, Italy, but it's in that collection over there. That is the foundation when you look at the game is very fierce. It's a very physical game. And me being such a water guy, such a fish guy, it was only natural for me to want to burn and mark my stick with the northern pike. Ganuje, really have that ferocity. I put it on every stick and I become known for that. And I've been lucky enough to make sticks for White Earth, Mille Lacs, Manoman, Lower Sioux, Upper Sioux, Mattawakoden Sioux, Grand Portage. And I think it's so important for Minnesota communities right now at this point where we're at. Something makes me really happy that old stick is being taken into consideration and being used, because it's good medicine. That stick is good medicine.
That is Maxwell Everett Kelsey. He makes lacrosse sticks. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio. Area Voices made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota. You can catch up on Area Voices by going to our website, kaxe.org.